Amen. Thank you, Miss Darnley. That'll preach. Amen. Amen. I know it's springtime and we're all getting, well, not officially yet, but it will be this week. And hopefully you're getting your garden ready, getting it together. Just remember, all the first fruits come to the priest, right? So when you're joking. Amen. No, I love the farm. I love to grow things. I love to try to be a farmer. You know, preachers are farmers, right? Teachers, we're sowing seed. And it's important, of course, here in North Iredell County to know how to farm. I mean, we've got farmers all around us. And if you're going to be a farmer, I mean, we feed the farmers. And I love going up there and doing that and getting to share with them that I'm just like them. And I sow a different kind of seed, but, you know, I'm a farmer like them. And it's important, of course, when you're farming, if you're going to be a good farmer, there's lots of things that you have to take in consideration to be an effective farmer. I mean, you have to consider all the different things that could influence your farming. I mean, you got to time things right, right? My grandpa, he had that farmer's almanac. Y'all remember that thing? And I can never forget. I mean, he was from Bonley, North Carolina. Now, if you don't know where that is, that's okay. They had a blinking light. That's all, right? And Bonley, near Siler City over there. All the roads are named after all my great uncles there. Because they've had a long history there. But when he moved to Durham and lived in Durham, he lived in the city. He had a lot beside his house, and he would grow cotton every year just to do it because he knew how to grow plants. He was a farmer, and he worked in a lumber yard, but he loved to farm. One thing that farmer's, I mean, you got to know the right time to plant your seed. That's what the farmer's almanac's all, right? With the moon phases and all that. I'm not really aware of all those things. I just kind of throw the seed in the soil, right, you know, and hope for the best. But farmers, they take that timing into consideration. They consider, you know, the rain. You got to have just the right amount of rain. If you get the wrong amount of rain, too much rain's not going to help. Too little rain's not going to help. You always got to worry about those little pests, right? And that'll destroy your crop. So you got to be mindful of that. And then also there's the heat. I mean, you got to make sure that it's warm enough. The ground's warm enough to receive the seed and for it to thrive. And then there's the other key component that we're going to focus on tonight, and that is the soil type, right? There's a, you know, I don't know if you realize this, but different crops grow in different types of soil. And farmers have to, you know, to be successful at farming, they need to find the right type of soil for that particular type of crop, that particular type of seed. There's not one size fits all in the types of soil. Different soil just does better with different types of seed. And so a good farmer knows that and he studies that. But, you know, I don't know if you know this. There's really just four general soil types. I didn't go to ag school. I went in for it. But anyways, I did learn this. There's four different soil types. There's sand. There's clay. We've got plenty of that in North Carolina. There's silt and there's loam, right? And each one of those different soil types and various amounts of each one mixed together helps to retain the right amount of moisture in the soil, provide the right nutrients that that particular crop is going to need. And all of them, if they're strategically done right and the farmer does it just right, they can ensure a bumper crop. And that's what it's all about. They want to bring forth a good harvest. But Jesus here in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 13, we're switching from Luke's gospel now over to Matthew, and we're going to run through many, many parables that Jesus taught through Matthew's gospel. And in Matthew 13, there is a very, very important parable. In fact, can I just tell you, it is the most important parable. Jesus said so. The parallel of this is in Mark chapter 4. Over in Mark chapter 4, he said, listen, if you and I don't get this one, we will not understand any parable. That's how important this is tonight. This is an important parable. It's so important. I would recommend that even though it's so familiar to us, that's the scary thing, that it's so familiar that we don't incline our ear to hear what God is saying to us tonight, because, oh, I've heard that one before, preacher, right? But if it's the most important one, anyone who's a good teacher knows this. The key to teaching is repetition sometimes, right? Repeating things. Oh, come on, parents. You're teaching your children, right? We repeat things many, many times. Amen? What did I tell you to do? Right? Tell me again. What did I tell you to do? Right? We say things over and over and over. Now, the master teacher is doing that to his children. All right? So as he's giving us this parable, he would say, listen, disciples, understand this. This parable is the key to understanding all the other parables. Why? Because it has to do with how we hear or receive what God says. And we can't understand the parables if we don't have hearts that are receptive to what God is saying. If we don't have eyes that are looking by faith and trusting in what God says. If we're not spiritually receptive in these ways. And so Jesus uses this illustration. It's one from everyday life in his day because they were an agrarian society. They depended on the crops. They depended on, you know, the weather and all those types of things. And this was their life and their livelihood. If they didn't bring forth a harvest, man, they'd starve. So this parable had great meaning. And so when he speaks it, the other thing that's unique about this parable is not only is it the most important one that we have to understand, but the second thing about it is you realize sometimes Jesus taught a parable and he didn't explain it. But this one he did. Well, that's good for us, right? I mean, it's really clear what he's saying in this parable because he teaches it, he explains, and then later on he explains it to the disciples after a little interlude about why he's teaching with parables and such, why he's teaching the crowds in this way, and they seemingly never get it, and his disciples are privileged to be able to hear and to understand and to see the principles of the kingdom of heaven and what it means to be a disciple. So hear the word of the Lord. In Matthew 13, I'm going to read the parable here in verses 1 through 9, and then we'll jump down and see what Jesus is saying as he explains this parable and the significance of it for us tonight. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Now, that's not the ocean sea. It's probably the Sea of Galilee, okay? It's a great big lake, okay? I've been on it. It's amazing, all right? And great multitudes were gathered together to him so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell, notice this one, on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, give us ears to hear tonight. Give us hearts inclined to understand your truth. Lord, we need your spirit to guide us into all truth. We need your spirit to sear this word on our hearts, to chisel it there, Lord. Because if this parable, if this teaching is so critical and so important, Father, my prayer is that all of us clearly understand it tonight so that we can understand the other parables and the other teaching that you give us. So, Lord, I pray our familiarity would not hinder us, Lord, from growing and understanding. Lord, I believe even we've not yet plumbed the depths of your word. You can always reveal fresh new insights in your word. So, Father, even tonight, for some of us that have studied this for many years, God, please show us something we've never seen. And Lord, in all this, we'll give you glory and honor and praise. Feed our soul, we pray, Lord, as we now hear you speak in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. There's some seed, there's a sower, and there's some soil. The sower goes out and he sows the seed. And Jesus explains this down in verses 18 when he talks about the sower who goes out. And he doesn't clearly identify who the sower is. We could, of course, believe that it's the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is bringing the seed, bringing the word of God to the world. And every sower, listen, who goes out, when you think about a farmer, why do they broadcast their seed? Why do they throw it out? Well, they don't throw it out just to feed the birds, I'll tell you that, right? They throw it out with an expectation that it's going to bring forth a harvest. All the labor, all their planning, all the things they consider doing, listen, throwing out that seed, they expect there to be some return on their investment. They want to see the soil bring forth a crop. In the same way, the Lord who sowed a seed, it was the seed, listen, not just of the word, but it was of the word that was made flesh. Jesus himself said, unless this seed dies and falls to the ground, it cannot bring forth life. He is the one who died and was buried and, praise the Lord, brings forth life. And the message about him is critical. The truth about him is critical. And it's all the word of God that the sower goes and sows in the hearts of men. And when God sent forth his son and even sent forth his spirit into the world, his desire was to convict lost people and to bring them to faith in Christ. Listen, so that they could, as our sister just reminded us, not have bad fruit, but have good fruit in their lives. Have lives that have been changed, lives that has been transformed. And praise God, God's word can do that for us. The word that was made flesh and the word which points to him. This word that we study tonight. And so we want to hear what the sower is sharing, the seed that he's throwing. Now the seed, of course, he says here, down in verse 18, 19, notice this. Here's the explanation of it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, in other words, the seed that goes forth is the word about our king, the kingdom of God, and about the king who's over that kingdom. Amen. That word is thrown forth. That seed is thrown forth. It has great potential. And it has the potential to change your life and make you a citizen of that kingdom. Not just a citizen of it, an heir and a joint heir of it. Pretty amazing. Now, the amazing thing is there's potential in every seed. I mean, stop and think about this. Do you know if you take one bean and you plant it in the ground, it has the potential to bring forth hundreds of beans? I mean, just think about one kernel of corn, right? You plant a kernel of corn, and it has the potential to bring forth several ears of corn. And on those ears, I mean, there's hundreds of man, I'm looking forward to some Silver Queen. Just, can I be honest with you, man? I mean, it's good corn, right? That's my favorite type, amen? Well, yeah, that corn has all that potential. This seed has amazing potential. Beloved, listen, we learned about this morning, right? This book is alive. This word is alive. It has the potential to bring forth life. It has the power to radically change our lives. If I'll just listen to what God is saying and have some soil in my heart ready to receive that seed and allow it to do its good work. The seed is the word of the kingdom. And here's the sad thing. When anyone receives that word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches what was sown in his heart. And this is he who received seed by the wayside. That first soil type that he speaks of is the soil by, I guess you'd say, right there near the edge of the road, or the little pathways around the great big fields where everyone walked from field to field. Of course, what they would do, of course, is try to pick out all the stones and they'd throw those to the side. And then there were walkways around the field where individuals, farmers would go and their hands would go, and they would walk there because they didn't want to destroy the crops. And as the sower went out throwing the seed, broadcasting it. Now, I don't do that in my garden, and I don't think you do either, right? Usually we're more methodical about it. I want to plant it in a straight line and 3 inches, 4 inches apart and all that good stuff. Listen, sometimes they were just indiscriminate. They would throw their seed, right? And as you throw it, sometimes that seed would go, and instead of landing in the field, it would land over here on the wayside, on the pathway, on the road. That was really hard because so much foot traffic was there. And because of that, that almost like concrete, you know, sometimes you walk on the, especially clay, right? You walk on it, and it just gets hard. I mean, I just planted some grass seed, but praise the Lord before the rain came. And I just noticed that some of that seed on the harder soil, it didn't really penetrate. It didn't go in anywhere. This is what he's saying. The seed, listen, that's thrown, when someone hears it and they don't understand it, why do they not understand it? Well, there'd be several reasons why they don't understand it. I think about a pathway, and I think about the reasons. Maybe it's just so much busyness and so much, you know, activity that they don't have time to stop and really think about what they heard. I mean, life can be so busy, right? Let's be honest. Amen. A life can be so busy that we don't take time to consider what is being said to us, to really be intentional about if this is the Word of God speaking to us, man, we really need to take it to heart. I really need to contemplate it. Or as, well, Psalm 1 would say it this way, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers, but instead his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night. I mean, when we're so busy that we don't have time to really contemplate and think about what God is saying, it really says something about our disposition, right, towards the Word of God and to God who's speaking to us, to not even have time to hear what he has to say. Those who don't understand that hard soil, hard as concrete, the seed never penetrates it, and it's scary. Do you notice what happened? The little birdies fly down. Oh, got a seed. Got my dinner, right? What's fascinating here is those birds, though, he says they're like the wicked one. Satan and his demons. Do you realize this? Satan knows there's power in the Word. He doesn't want us to listen. He'll give us every busy distraction that he can give us so that we won't incline our ear to hear what God has to say. He will keep you busy. Man, I'm telling you, try this sometime. You know you're trying to have your quiet time, right? And trying to focus. And all of a sudden, and you get those texts, and it's like, do you want to sell your property? I'm tired of those texts. I mean, you're getting a bunch of those, right? All right? Right? How many of that distractions do we get? Oftentimes, when we're doing one of two things, either hearing God speak or praying, speaking to God. Easy things. That's why it's so critical, listen, to really dedicate that time, devote that time, to be intentional in that moment, to not be so busy or so tied up with the things of the world that we don't have time really to hear what God says and to take it to heart. Sometimes we are so focused on our lives that we don't even stop and realize God may have a word to speak to us, to speak about something that's going to happen in our life that day, to give us a nugget, a truth that will help us navigate that day. And so we need to be inclined to really allow the Word to penetrate our hearts. And we need to guard against having hard hearts. It's amazing. That's the first soil that he mentions. Now, there's a second soil, not that's hard, but this is the one that's the stony soil. Notice in verse 20. But he received the seed, or on the stony places. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, I underline that in my Bible, immediately he stumbles. So the second soil is the stony soil. It's the places, listen, it was common in Palestine. You'd have limestone, you'd have some, and then a thin layer of topsoil over it. And as that soil, listen, it immediately, it finds good soil right there on the top. It's just a thin layer of it. There's no depth to it. And the soil looks like it might be good. It looks like it might be productive. It looks like it might actually bring a pretty good harvest. And so as the seed penetrates that soil, it goes down. And he says, this is like the one that hears it and with joy. Well, that means that it was an emotional response, right? Joy is an emotion. Oh, I'm excited. This is the message I need to hear to change my life. And yet, it's short-lived, right? It's a short-lived response. Why? Well, because when persecution comes or difficulties come, because of the word, because of maybe one's commitment to what they've heard, their decision to say, oh, I'm going to embrace this truth. I'm going to follow Christ. And they start going for a short while and then all of a sudden, hard times come. Persecution comes. Difficulties come. Tribulation comes. Because of one's maybe commitment to follow in this way, immediately that one stumbles. Now, this is scary, right? People who make a profession and you think, oh yeah, they're going for Christ. And then all of a sudden, where'd they go? What happened to them? And of course, in each one of these soils, oftentimes we say, well, which ones were saved? Well, oftentimes, you know, it's a good thing to do in Scripture, to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Over in John 15, you know, when Jesus talked about the Father's desire, as He being the vine, we being the branches, being attached to Him, abiding in Him, His Word abiding in us, His desire is, Father's desire is this, that we bear fruit, that we bear much fruit, more fruit. In fact, He says, by this you know that I know that you're one of my disciples, that fruit bearing. And so what we want to see is those seed, that seed that bears fruit, that is confirmation there is an authentic disciple of Christ. The fruit tells you the root. And if there's no fruit, then you're going to question the root. But this fruit shoots up, but that's about as far as it gets. This root shoots up, and it doesn't produce any fruit because of hardship. And so we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that when difficulty comes because of our faith commitment to Christ, our embrace of the Word. We don't want to be those that fall away. Well, that's because we need good deep soil, not thin, stony soil. You see, if the stone is there, the roots can't get deep. And so because it can't get deep, if it's dry up top and it's not, there hasn't been adequate precipitation, the roots need to get deep. Maybe get on the other side of that stone where probably there is moisture, right? And get down there so that it can get the nutrients and the water it needs when the difficulty, when the sun and the heat get up there. That's why, listen, it's critical, it's vital for us. Listen, you get the soil, make sure you're getting the stones out of your heart. Things that are hard that would hinder the roots from going deep. Now, the third type of soil he mentions here in verse 22. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There, that scary thing is again, unfruitful. Unfruitful. The thorny soil, it looks ready too. In fact, perhaps when the seed was planted, those tares weren't there. You couldn't see them. Or those thistles and thorns, the weeds that were there, you couldn't see them perhaps. And everyone knows, listen, when you're planting your garden, right? And you put you're always watching the things that sprout up because you want to make certain that it's your seed that you've planted that's sprouting up. If the thistle starts to come up, if the weeds, and man, I'm sorry, there's some nasty, gnarly weeds out there, right? And those things can come up and you can see how they will choke out that crop, that shoot that comes up. And this, he identified what those weeds are and what chokes out God's word from being fruitful in someone's life. And this is what's vital for us to understand, is that those thorns and those weeds that cling to that vine sometimes, or cling to that plant as it comes up, literally sometimes they will choke it right out. What are they? Cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. These things will choke out fruitfulness and production and productivity. And so if the seed is going to survive, those things have to be plucked out. They have to be removed. And so we often have to be careful, listen, that our hearts, we're not listening to the deceitfulness of riches, the anxious things, the cares, the worries of the world. Now, beloved, stop and think about that. How could the Word of God help us to avoid that? Well, I know as far as the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, I mean, there's so many Proverbs which highlight this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 highlights it as well. Jesus himself said, look, you can't serve God and mammon too. You got to choose, right? You'll be servant of one. And so you have to choose who we're going to serve. And see, riches will lie. They'll say, oh, this can make you better. This can be your Messiah. This can solve this problem. And the reality is, riches can't do that. Proverbs will say, you know, riches, they can grow wings and like a Red Bull, right? And fly away just like that. So be careful. They're here today and they'd be gone tomorrow just like that. In fact, it's fascinating over there in Proverbs 18 when it talks about the righteous. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. The next verse says, the rich man's riches, his wealth is his wall around his city, but it won't preserve him and save him. See, that's the contrast of the two things. The wise man Solomon said it. Jesus, who's wiser than Solomon, says it right here. Be careful about the deceitfulness of riches. They will not save you. They will not save me. Be careful about the cares, the anxieties of the world. There are so many things that can cause us to choke out the word. And yet, what should be happening, the word reminds us, man, we sang about it today, amazing grace. There's a gracious God who gives graciously to us and sustains us through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. Amen? Those anxious things, God wants you and I to cast them over on Him. Peter would say it this way, right? Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast them, roll them over. Rather than allowing those things to choke the Word of God, find the precious promises of God. Build your life on those things. Rest in who God is and what He says in His Word. Believe in Him. Cast it on Him. Call on His name. Take Him at His Word that He's faithful and true and He'll supply. As a good shepherd, not just providing for our wants. Beloved, He overflows our cups. Don't let the cares of the world, man, there's plenty of stuff. Man, our God has overcome this world, and it's faith that overcomes this world. And we need that faith, and that faith is built on the Word, what we hear about God. That's why I've got to sow that and remove, pluck out those. Now, you know what I've learned about weeds? The sooner you pluck them out, the easier it is, right? The longer you wait, it's like some of them, man, they got some root systems. And the sad thing is, oftentimes you yank them chokers up, like, and man, they pull up all the grass and everything else around them too. And it's like, man, look at that great big hole that weed had. Amazing. So, as Barney says, nip it in the bud, right? Early. Pluck it. Pull it up. Pull it out right now. Let's see, we should be examining the soil of our heart. Lord, I don't want any stones in there that would hinder growth and deep growth so that I can get to the nutrients and the water and that sustains. I don't want any thistles in there, any thorns, anything that would choke out any worries of the world. When those things arise, the devil would love for you and I to focus on that rather than calling on the Lord and trusting in Him. This is the scary thing. Notice that at the end of verse 22, I underlined it. He becomes unfruitful. That's the scary thing, right? The fruit confirms the root. If there's no fruit, then you have to question the root. Then look at the last soil, because this is the best one, right? There's four kinds of soil. Here's the fourth one. He who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed here bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Praise the Lord, there is good soil. It produces a bountiful harvest. The seed comes in, it penetrates the heart, it finds some deep soil, and there the nutrients are there, the nourishment is there, and it shoots up, and it begins to bear fruit. Now, it's interesting there. Some bears 30, some bears 60-fold, some bears 100-fold. The difference, listen, is on the production level of fruit, but the truth is each one plant that was planted, when it germinates and grows up, it bore fruit. Praise the Lord. That's the key thing, is that we bear fruit. It's what the Father intended. It's what Jesus said over there in John 15. You can write that in the margin of your Bible. It's what God wants from those that are His disciples, that your life and my life bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, you know, they're the fruit of lost souls. Amen. We go forth throwing our seed. We come back with our sheaves. Amen. We want to do that. Listen, stop thinking about this. Where you work, where you go to school, where you live, you can throw the seed out there. The gospel, the good news. The good news of the kingdom. You can throw it out there and you pray for good soil for it to find. And maybe you got to water it every now and then. And you know the amazing thing? You know who gives the increase? God. Our responsibility is just to be faithful. To go sow that seed that was sown in our hearts. And that may bring forth some fruit. The fruit of lost souls coming to Jesus. The other kind of fruit, of course, is spiritual fruit. Right? we don't produce that. The Spirit produces in our life love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What he says there, we want to see that. Am I a more loving person? Am I a kinder person? Am I a faithful person? Am I a gentle person? Is that being produced in my life? Not through my effort, but the Word of God working in my life, working through my life in relationships with others as a testimony of what God has done in my life. You and I should want to see that, and we want to cultivate that, and we want to nurture that. And see, the only difference in all these soils is the production, right? Three didn't produce any fruit, and the third one produced three different levels of fruit. But the key is the good soil. And that should be our prayer. God, plow my heart, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, I need you to remove those things which would hinder the word from taking root and changing, transforming my life, bringing forth the fruit, a testimony of what God has done in my life through Christ. And sometimes we need to pray, Lord, remove the things that cause me to be shallow, Lord, to not enable that root system to go deep. Lord, am I distracted? Am I burdened? Am I defeated just by the anxious cares of the world? Am I so worried about things that I don't bring those things to the Lord and take him at his word and allow that word, listen, to help me to rise above the cares of the world? You see, this word's alive. It's living. It's powerful. And not only does it expose us as we learned this morning, but God wants it to bring a harvest in our lives. But you and I have to be receptive to it. We have to have a heart that's inclined. You know, the seed, praise God, it's always good. The seed is always good. And there's many enemies out there to that seed that we have to be mindful of and we have to avoid if we're going to have proper growth as God desires. And praise God, if we're willing, God can produce a bountiful crop. But is my heart ready to hear? Remember what he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Right? The ear isn't right here, y'all. It's a hearing heart. That's what a wise heart is. 1 Kings chapter 3. That's what Solomon prayed for. God, give me wisdom, which is a hearing heart. And that heart, God will plant in. Let's pray that he does that tonight. Father, this week, God, give us good soil in our hearts, Lord. So the things that we've heard today in worship, in Sunday school, the things that we'll listen to in our quiet time when we open your word and hear you speak this week, the good preaching maybe that we'll listen to on the radio. Father, give us hearts ready to hear what you have to say, to treasure that word. Lord, God, help us to be honest and assess the soil of our hearts, Lord. If there's things there that will hinder the growth or choke out the growth, Lord, or God, if we're just so busy, please help us to pause and take time to really reflect, what have I heard God say to me? And how can I trust and obey? God, I pray we'd see fruit in our lives, Lord. Father, it's what you want. Now, Lord, if we need to be pruned, I praise you that you can prune us so that we'll bear much fruit, more fruit for your glory. Lord, that may that mark our lives this week, I pray. And I ask all this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen.